Now Mr. Levy knew that his wife's strange logic made it necessary for him to be ruined. She wanted to see Abelman victorious. She would see in the victory some peculiar justification. Since his wife had read the letter from Abelman, her mind must have been working over the matter from every angle. Every minute that she was pedaling the exercycle or bouncing on the board, her system of logic was probably telling her more and more convincingly that Abelman must win the suit. It would be not only Abelman's victory, but hers also. Every conversational and epistolary road sign and guidepost that she had held up before the girls pointed to their father's final terrible failure. Mrs. Levy couldn't afford to be disproved. She needed the $500,000 libel suit. She wasn't even interested in his speaking with Riley. The Abelman case had passed from a purely material and physical plane to an ideological and spiritual one where universal and cosmic forces decreed that Gus Levy must lose, that a childless and desolate Gus Levy must wander endlessly with bucket and sponge.
"Well, I'm going after Riley,"
Mr. Levy said finally.
"Such determination! I can hardly believe it. Don't worry, you won't be able to pin anything on the young idealist. He's too clever. He'll play another joke on you. Just watch. Another wild goose chase. Back to Mandeville. This time they'll keep you there, a middle-aged man driving a little toy of a collegian sports car."
"I'm going right to his house."
Mrs. Levy folded her foundation notes and turned off her board, saying,
"Well, if you're going to town, take me with you. I'm worried about Miss Trixie since Gonzalez reported that she bit that gangster's hand. I must see her. Her old hostility toward Levy Pants is out in the open again."
"Do you still want to play around with that senile bag? Haven't you tormented her enough already?"
"Even a little good deed you don't want me to do. Your type isn't even in the psychology books. You should at least go to Lenny's doctor for his sake. Once your case was in the psychiatric journals, they'd be inviting him to Vienna to speak. You'd make him a famous man, just like that crippled girl or whoever it was put Freud on the map."
While Mrs. Levy was blinding herself with layers of aquamarine eyeshadow in preparation for her errand of mercy, he got the sports car out of the monumental three-car garage, built like a substantial rustic carriage house, and sat looking over the calm, rippling bay. Little darts of heartburn pricked about in his chest. Riley had to make some kind of confession. Abelman shysters could wipe him out. He couldn't give his wife the satisfaction of seeing that happen. If Riley would confess to writing the letter, if somehow he could come out of this all right, he would change. He would vow to become a new person. He would even give the company a little supervision. It was only sensible and practical to supervise that place. A neglected Levy Pans was like a neglected child. It could turn out to be a delinquent, something that created all sorts of problems that a little nurture, a little care and feeding could prevent. The more you stayed away from Levy Pants, the more it plagued you. Levy Pants was like a congenital defect, an inherited curse.